Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production. Now available on Apple Podcasts, Podcast One, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
T.I. walked out.
Yeah, there was a lot of full frontal male nudity.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
That's part of the way I try to avoid awkwardness here on the Rich Eisen Show, is not to have that part of the interview process.
The Rich Eisen Show.
Yeah, I have a different tactic.
Earlier on the show, NFL Network analyst Steve Mariucci. Coming up, professional gamer and streamer Ninja. Academy Award winning director John Ridley. Co-host of Peacock's Brother from Another, Michael Hawley. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
All right, everybody. It's a Thursday, hour two of the Rich Eisen Show, getting ready for Thursday night football against the second team, San Francisco 49ers. 12 members of the team on injured reserve, four of them on the COVID-19 list tonight. And we're tracking down the story out of San Francisco that Matt Maiocco, who was on Dan Patrick's show preceding ours today, as they always do. We follow them every day right here on Peacock. NBC Sports on Peacock stream, which we'd love to do. Hey, we followed Dan's show for 5+ years on audience, and now we're doing it here for NBC Sports on Peacock. At any rate, Matt Maiocco was on the show and said that Kendrick Bourne's COVID-19 test that came back positive and landed his close contacts in fellow wide receivers Brandon Ayuk and Debo Samuel on the COVID-19 list, and Trent Williams on the COVID-19 list. It appears to be a false positive, and he and three others who live with him have all tested negative, according to Matt. And that said, because there's not enough time before kickoff tonight to have enough testing done again day in and day out to confirm the false positive, they all have to be out. And that's the team that's taking on the Green Bay Packers tonight, who have no running backs of note. Because Aaron Jones looks like he won't go, and A.J. Dillon's COVID positive, and his close contact, Jamal Williams, the backup who would have been out there tonight, he has to be on the COVID-19 list too. That's the setup for tonight. We had Steve Mariucci on in hour number one. He pointed out there's not a single player on the field tonight. You said this before the show, Chris. I don't know if you said it on the air, but
I did not.
That there's not a single player on the field tonight for San Francisco on offense who gained a yard from scrimmage in the Super Bowl last year. Not a single one of them.
Crazy. Crazy.
Not the matchup rematch of the NFC Championship game we all had in mind. Ninja will be joining us. The famed streamer and gamer will be joining us in about 18 minutes' time. He's a diehard Lions fan. I proffer to think he's got himself a fantasy team or two. John Ridley, the Academy Award-winning writer and director, he will be joining us. He's got a new book out called The Other History of the DC Universe. It's a new comic book miniseries. And he'll be joining us on this show. He was the man who wrote the screenplay of 12 Years a Slave, which is one of the best movies I've ever seen. And he won the Oscar for that. Best writing.
He did.
So he'll be joining us. And then Michael Hawley. By the way, Ridley's a diehard Packer fan, so we'll be talking to him about that. And Michael Hawley, whose show with Michael Smith follows ours every day on NBC Sports on Peacock, Brother from Another, he'll join us at the very end of the show. Already, we've got some poll questions that have gotten some traction, also including the fact that we just hopped in the sports DeLorean, because today is the date, November 5th, 1955, as you point out, Chris, that lives in red letter day in the history of...
Red letter day in the history of science.
When Doc Brown...
hanging up a clock, slipped and fell, hit his head.
Yep.
And when he woke up, came to, he thought of this, the flux capacitor.
Which made time travel possible.
Made time travel possible.
So we decided that if we had a DeLorean outfitted with a flux capacitor, where would we go, when would we go to rectify something in our sports past. I chose going back to April 1993 and telling Chris Webber there's no more timeouts. You chose to go back in time to tell Grady Little to take Pedro out of the game. Don't put him back in.
Don't put him back in.
TJ Jefferson, who's getting ready for a Cooper Rush start or a Gilbert Grape start coming up on Sunday.
We're ready.
Right. You said you'd go back and you'd hop in the DeLorean and say, I'll go back in time. And
1994.
And tell Jerry and Jimmy, hash it out.
Sit them down.
That's it.
Let's work this out, fellas.
We asked phone calls on it, and boy, we've gotten several of them. So let's start with Michael in the great state of Pennsylvania. That's on everybody's minds these days. What's up, Michael?
Yo, guys. What's up, Rich? How you doing?
What do you have for me?
I want to go back to that very, there's a couple, but my most very painful night of October back in 1993, my first ever, it would have been my potential first ever championship as a teenager in high school. Philadelphia Phillies losing to the Blue Jays. I went to turn, as a blind man, I went to change the channel on the radio at the time during the commercial, because it was right when they took out Roger Mason and Jim Fregosi, had to take them out, and we had the lead. And everything was good, but listening to the darn analytics, which wasn't popular at the time, but going to his quote-unquote analytics, putting in Mitch Williams, the Wild Thing, and then Joe Carter smacked that home run out of Sky Dome. I'm still scarred from it.
I'm so sorry. So you'll go back in the DeLorean and say, Mitch, don't throw that pitch. Don't throw it.
I'd tell Fregosi, like, just leave Mason in there. Just leave it be.
Thanks for the call, Michael. I appreciate it. That's fun. Well, not the memory of it, I guess. Chris in Michigan. What's up, Chris? You there, Chris?
If I could go back in time, I'd go back to about 93, 94 and get Cleveland to give Modell whatever he wants to keep the Browns there so they could go on and draft Ray Lewis and Jonathan Ogden the next year and keep Belichick as the coach and see how things go.
Could you imagine?
Yeah.
Could you imagine? Stick it out with Belichick.
Coach and Saban as the D coordinator.
Stick it out. Don't go.
Give him what he wants. Give him what he wants and keep him there. Keep Ozzie as the GM. Draft Ray Lewis and Jonathan Ogden next year and see how things go.
Thanks for the call, man. Oh, my gosh. Belichick. Because he had already gotten through the whole business with Bernie Kosar and started winning games.
Oh, yeah.
Took the team to the playoffs. Bill Belichick was the coach of the Cleveland Browns, by the way, millennials. Oh, my gosh. Let's go to Muggsy in San Diego, hopefully listening down the Mightier 1090, the Rich Eisen Show radio affiliate here in Southern California. What's up, Muggsy?
Yo, man, I'm going to go ahead and hijack the keys, man. I got two for you. First, I'm going to 1990. I'm telling Mike, Buster Douglas is serious, man. He's serious, man. You need to get your game together. Be prepared. Leave all these girls alone. I know Custom Model died and everything, but, hey, get your mind together. Second, I'm a Raider fan. I go back there and scream, it's a fumble. It's a fumble. You know what fumble I'm talking about, Rich. It was a fumble. There is no Patriots. There is no Patriots. That's what I would do, man. That's what I would do.
Okay. Thanks for the call, Muggsy. Look at Muggsy bringing it.
I mean, with all due respect to Muggsy, the rules said it wasn't a fumble. So, you know.
That is true. It was. So I guess what he should do is tell Woodson to get an extra step to get there before the tuck comes down. How would you DeLorean that moment to help the Raiders? Right?
Because it was already a snowstorm.
Well, because, again, that Woodson arrived. And, by the way, the fact that it is the two greatest players in the history of Michigan football meeting together in a backfield of an iconic
crazy
professional football playoff game that we will be talking about forevermore is nuts.
Yeah.
So, but how would you DeLorean that in the Raiders' way? Because, as you point out, it was the proper
interpretation of
so maybe what you'd have to do is DeLorean yourself back to the moment whoever came up with the dumbass tuck rule and say, don't put that in there. Because if somebody is taking the ball from up here and goes down here with it, what more indication do you need to telegraph that you no longer intend to throw than this maneuver?
Right.
So that's the DeLorean moment. You can't go back and unless you could make Woodson a step faster.
Like a quarter second faster.
Right.
Then he hits the fumble. He hits Brady that much earlier, and it's the ball's up here instead of here, and it's a fumble. I don't know how you DeLorean that moment.
Or you could just have the ref that called that a fumble or a tuck rule not make the call because we'd never seen it before.
Walt Coleman, Interesting. Yeah, I don't know.
No, no, you have to go back in time to whoever wrote, whoever was the whoever was the founding father of the Tuck rule,
the John Hancock of that.
I'm telling you, I was on it from the beginning. I was all over Pereira for years, and all he would do in those segments, official review on NFL Total Access, all I would go back to it over and over again and go, Rich, you don't know. I mean, it's a gray area that you remove with the Tuck rule. I'm like, the gray area is the Tuck rule, Mike. The gray area that you say the Tuck rule is removing of to try to figure out when a quarterback is tucking the ball or still is in the process of throwing it. The tuck is not incompletion. The tuck is fumble. The tuck is I'm no longer intending to throw. The tuck is not part of the throw. What are we doing? No, no, Rich.
What are we doing?
And then what happened? Years later, that rule's changed. It's out. And just because of that, I will never stop. I will never stop. And I'll use the Quixote phrase. I will never stop tilting at this windmill. I will never stop on making a fumble through the end zone a touchback for the defense. Never. I will never give it up because I absolutely was a factor in changing the Tuck rule, no doubt in my mind. And I am not prone to delusions of grandeur. I am not. I am not.
Yeah. Rich, you got to move on.
Oh, stop.
You got to move
on. It is
on.
Not the same
I
as trying
you,
to get.
You gotta move
no,
on.
It's not the same as make the mattress stick.
Thank you, Matt.
No, it is not. It is not. I had a platform. I kept pounding at that table. There were decision makers in the NFL who were watching that show. And one of the chief decision makers was on the business end of that argument. I will definitely take credit for this when nobody's offering it.
I plead the fifth.
Thank you, Tom. And one of my favorite parts about this as well, I love this. In the same way that I learned when I went to Michigan that I call what's on my feet right now sneakers.
Right.
Okay?
Yeah.
Sneakers.
By the way, just pulled a hamstring making that maneuver to show you my sneakers. Michiganders call it tennis shoes.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
All right? I call what I put on my ice cream sprinkles.
Sprinkles. Jimmies.
They call them jimmies.
No, jimmies is a back east thing,
too. I don't know, man. I don't know where you're from.
Jimmy's, right?
I call...
In Maine, they call them Jimmy's, but I'm a sprinkles guy.
I call Coke or Pepsi soda. They call it pop.
Pop, yeah. Yep.
And I would use these phrases. I would use my language of growing up in New York, and they'd be like, hey, look, New Yorker, respect where you are. When in Rome, call it pop, all right? That sort of stuff.
Hell no.
In the same way, what... That caller and all of Raider Nation's and the rest of the NFL world calls the Tuck rule game. You call
snow game.
The snow game. New England Patriots fans, New Englanders call it the snow game. The only ones on the planet who call it the snow game.
Yeah,
nobody else is like, hey, you remember the snow game? No, I mean, there was a great snow game in Philadelphia that actually was played on a... They had to play a game on Tuesday because it was such a big snowstorm on a Sunday.
No.
Oh, yeah, that snow game where LeSean McCoy had to take all that snow out of his helmet.
No.
Where somebody was doing all those snow angels. There's been tons of snow games.
The plow
tons
snow
of snow
game.
Games. The plow was a snow
the
game.
The plow was a snow game.
Another New England moment.
But not the snow game.
No. It's the Tuck rule game. But you in New England...
No.
You and New England, all you New Englanders, all you Patriots.
Tom Brady had a rushing touchdown in that game, and then everyone threw snowballs on the field.
Understood.
It's one of the greatest games of all time.
Only NFL game that's involved snow and fans throwing snowballs on the field. I've never seen that before.
No, that's
you're right
one.
To call that the snow game.
Yeah.
Snow game.
Please.
One of the greatest kicks in NFL history, Adam Vinatieri. Adam Vinatieri in a blizzard.
Vinatieri.
I was thinking of Jim Santori, the weather guy.
I know.
Cantori. It's
Cantori.
Nice.
Well,
kick
saving a beauty there. I like it. Mike in Orlando, let's take your phone call here on the Rich Eisen Show. What's up, Mike?
Hey, Rich. Thanks for taking the call.
Thanks for making it.
Of course. So this one will probably be near and dear to your heart, too. But Game 7 of the 2001 World Series.
Uh-huh.
If there was ever a time that even Brockman would probably root for the Yankees, it was that year to win the World Series. So bases are loaded. Arizona's already tied the game. For some reason, Torrey pulls the infield in. Luis Gonzalez hits that bloop single. The rest is history. Play the middle infielders back. Jeter catches that ball. We get out of the inning. We go to extra innings. Who knows what might happen. But, Joe, just play the infield back. Or play the middle infield back.
Right. Move the – that's right. I know.
Yeah.
Especially since Luis Gonzalez is a left-hander and Rivera's cutter doesn't.
Yeah.
The cutter absolutely always bears down on the left-hander. And it was that that bloop. I hear you. Thanks for the call. Oh, my God. That was a moment.
Yeah, Jeter definitely catches that, right? If he's a normal.
There's no doubt.
Normal depth.
There's no doubt. So you're repositioning infielders if you're going back in the DeLorean.
Good one.
And while you're back in the DeLorean. You should also tell the two Republicans who were sitting next to each other like fast friends, Giuliani and John McCain, what the 2020 was going to be about. And take a picture of them.
Yeah.
This is what's going to happen. They were tight.
Oh, yeah.
Let's go to Sean in Tampa. What's up, Sean?
How are you?
How are you, Sean? What's on your mind?
I have one for you. Go back to 92. And tell Patino to cover the inbound pass for Grant Hill to Christian Laettner.
Put a man on the inbounder? Is that what you should do? Oh, my gosh. Yeah, I hear you, Sean.
That would have been awesome. Loved it.
Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Hey, Sean. I mean, hey, Rick, you want to guard the inbound? It's an idea.
Make sure it's nighttime when you talk to Rick.
Oh, my gosh. That's your vampire analogy, huh?
Vampire.
All right, Jeff in Detroit. How are you, Jeffrey?
What's going on, Unc? You got a U of M covered already with the timeout, I'm sure.
Yes, I did. That was my choice. That was my obvious choice, yeah.
Yeah, I figured that much. So I switched it up to 2005, Game 5 of the NBA Finals. Detroit Pistons versus the San Antonio Spurs. Robert Horry drifts off to the right, shoots, and Rasheed Wallace is late getting there, and they go on to take a 3-2 series lead, and Detroit never recovered. We were supposed to go back-to-back that particular year, and I'll never forget it. It hurt like hell because I could see him drifting off, and the guy does it every time. He's money in the bank when you put the spotlight on him. That's why they call him Big Shot Bob.
I love it. Thanks for the call, Jeff. You be well. I love this whole construct. I love it. It's a lot of fun. There's a lot of people would love to use the flux capacitor that, again, on this date in 1955 was
the red letter date in the history of science.
Created by Doc Brown.
Yeah.
That's fun. This is fun. You know, I would also go, back in time a few years ago and tell Jim Harbaugh to look out for those Ohio State refs from the Big Ten who are from the state of Ohio, who are slapping Mike Weber on the ass and stuff like that in the game where they had him stopped on fourth down in overtime. Stopped on fourth down in overtime to win the game. Watch out for those officials who were smiling as Curtis Samuels scored the touchdown.
Scott Norwood, it's going to be a little
God.
It's going to blow it a little bit to the right. To the right.
Nothing,
the wind's blowing a little to the right.
Nothing turns me into more of a Twitter troll, and I need to take the phone out of my hands quite like Big Ten officiating. And I know it does not suit me well.
Speaking of officiating, the Mighty 1090 sent us a tweet. Go back to 2007 and tell the Suns that referee over there, Tim Donaghy, is going to call the game unfairly.
Oh, mightier 1090 coming in strong.
The finals.
Coming in strong. Go back in the DeLorean and warn about Donaghy. Oh,
good one.
Interesting. Let's take a break. 844-204-RICH. We'll check on our poll questions, plural, that are excellent. We're talking playoffs of what? For six teams on the verge or not? That's coming up. But first, a chat with Ninja in a moment. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. And I bet it can be hard work. You know what's easy? Bundling policies with GEICO. GEICO makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's or renter's insurance along with your auto policy. And it's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your home. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's GEICO easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com. Oh, yeah. Mr. Mercedes right here on Peacock. Start streaming it right now. Full episodes are available now. Again, we know this show because it was born just like this show on Audience Network. And it is chilling. It is Stephen King at his finest. The best-selling trilogy by Stephen King has been turned into the Mr. Mercedes drama series. And if Brendan Gleeson is one of the best actors on the market, and he plays Detective Bill Hodges at the center of it all. Full episodes, again, available right now, right here on Peacock. Start streaming it today. It's amazing how life works, man.
Right?
I literally have, that might be my 10,000th read of a promo for Mr. Mercedes. I'm sitting in this chair. You know? There's a lot of other great Audience Network shows, too, if you're interested.
60 Minutes will be coming up following football, followed by Murder, She Wrote.
So now, if it was Mr. Mercedes with a comma, like, you know, however that would be, Mr. Mercedes. We're back here on The Rich Eisen Show here in Los Angeles, California. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. We're here on the day, it's the anniversary of the flux capacitor being invented by Dr. Brown on November 5th, 1955,
who
right?
Knew?
And so we've had a lot of fun with people calling in and saying, hey, if I could go back into DeLorean and change this sports moment in time, it would be this, that, the other thing. Mine would be telling Chris Webber there's no more timeouts left in the 1993 Final Four. You would go back in time and say, Grady Little, take Pedro out. Don't fall for the banana in the tailpipe. Don't let him stay in. So many other people calling in, too. It's been great. So we'll go back to your phone calls at 844-204-RICH. But welcoming back here on The Rich Eisen Show is one of the most popular people on the planet. And in September 2020, he returned to Twitch with a multi-year live streaming deal. 40 million fans worldwide. And Team Ninja Apparel's got a new Team Ninja hoodie that's out there on the market that we'll be talking about with Ninja himself back here on The Rich Eisen Show. How are you, brother?
Dude, I'm doing good. How are you guys?
I'm doing fine. So if I could put you in a DeLorean, in a Back to the Future DeLorean and change a sporting a moments of your sports past that you could change, go back in time and say, don't do this because it would lead to the misery that you suffered as a sports fan otherwise, what would that be, Ninja?
Dude, I'd go back in time, man, and I would tell the ref to not pick up the flag against the Dallas Cowboys in the playoffs.
Against the Lions. I like it. That is
on,
good.
Man.
That was passing.
Like, no, you're going to leave that flag on the ground. Don't you pick that up. That was the right call, you little shit.
Careful. No. Careful. We're on a family show. But I appreciate the moxie. But I'd love
that's a fan.
That.
That's a fan.
What better way? Okay, you could also tell, you know, go back in time and tell Barry Sanders, just stick around a little longer. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, a couple more years.
We could
please.
Do that. But I love that shows off. That's how deep a Lions fan you are. Because that was you had him. You had him. Ninja.
Dude, we did, man. And, like, we were a good team. I think we've always been a good team. We've always had good talent, right? That's one thing that's really frustrating being a Lions fan all these years is, like, we see these top players on our team, right? Megatron, right now with Galladay and Stafford, obviously, just always been an animal. Now he's fully healthy. And just to not succeed when you have the talent, you have the weapons, it can be frustrating. So when we were actually doing really well that year, man, and that game was ours to win, it's frustrating, bro.
I could feel it. I could sense it. How are you a Lions fan when you're from Chicago, right? Is your original?
Yeah, so my parents were, they raised two of my brothers before I was born in Detroit. They were in Detroit for a while. So my dad was a Lions fan. And then when I was born, we moved over to Illinois. So my oldest brother, John, was, you know, I think he was like 11, 12, 13. Eventually he was old enough to know and, you know, kind of become his own fan. Right. And then he was a Lions fan. And then my dad was like, you know what, screw this. Lions, you know, suck. They never win. I'm going to be a Bears fan because he's lived in Illinois for, you know, 15 some years now. It's like, you know, at what point is it like not a sellout or a bandwagon move to switch teams?
Yes.
And I feel like, you know, that's pretty solid, right? You live in the state for 15 years or something like that. You can become a fan, especially if your team is not performing or you don't like the way their team's being run. So my brother stayed a Lions fan. I eventually loved watching football. John pulled me into this bar in Michigan and Wisconsin. In Wisconsin while we were actually going to college together for a year.
Right.
And, you know, he was having a beer. I had a root beer. And we watched the Lions play. And, you know, he gave me a jersey. And it was the coolest thing ever. It was the only Lions bar in all of Wisconsin that we knew of. And it was just such a cool experience. So, and that's how I became a Lions fan ever since.
A Lions fan in the heart of Packers country, in a bar, in a Lions bar. I've never, that is, oh my God. I've never could imagine that there's a Lions bar.
Chewy's bar. And he actually, he had cancer and he ended up passing from it, but he was just, he was the nicest guy. And, you know, it was a small bar. It was just a really cool thing.
I've got I've got Ninja here on the Rich Eisen show. But, you know, no matter what you can conjure up for what's cool and your love of the NFL and all the cool things that you've been able to achieve already in life, what in the world was it like being part of that NFL 100 Super Bowl commercial? You were the only one not related technically to the NFL, a prominent sports celebrity that wasn't a player or a Hall of Famer. What in the hell was it like to be in that room with all those Hall of Famers for that commercial that just lit up the Super Bowl? What was that like?
It was pretty terrifying, man. Like, I absolutely love football. So being in there, I'm standing, like, it was so weird at first. It was so weird at first. Like, I kind of just got thrown into, like, the day of filming, right? Everyone was already sitting down. They'd been filmed. They'd done a bunch of shots already. I came in pretty much. I was like the last scene, right? Like the last part of the day of filming, and everyone's already, you know, situated, and they've done a bunch of their shots already. And to walk in and I like see all these legends, I was freaking out. They were just all like walking by me, right? Because they're all kind of like going to their positions and stuff like that. And I think I only had one person with me who was like telling me where to go. And it was by a director that I love,
Peter Berg.
So first time working with this, I'm like, so the entire day was insane, and the commercial. Honestly, I lost for words, right? Like, I knew I didn't really, I don't know if I didn't belong there, but like, obviously, right? I have no affiliation with the NFL or any of the NFL 100 or anything like that. So to be a part of it, it was a blessing, man. It was an honor, and I'm just happy that happy that it went over well.
It sure did.
Everyone was just super nice.
Was Sanders, was Barry there on the day of your shoot?
No, I didn't see Barry. I didn't see Barry there. I don't think he was there on that day of filming.
So who was there? What other players were there that you saw?
Peyton was there. I saw Juju, me and Juju, that's right. Love him.
Juju was there too. That's right. He was in the commercial.
Oh, yeah, dude. Me and Juju, I feel like me and Juju, we always end up together filming, man. I'm trying to think of Marshawn Lynch, Skittles, dude. When he came up to me, this is the first time we met, Matt, and we ended up doing something with Fortnite related too later.
Right.
After this, but like, I was behind everyone with the director and with everyone like watching one of the scenes being filmed, and he wasn't in it, but he's back there, and they were watching one of the games that was going on, and he like walks up to me super slowly and just goes, Marshawn. Like, and like stick his hand out to like give me a handshake. I was like, I know who you are, bro. I was like, beast mode, man. And he just starts smiling and like walks back and sits down and keeps watching the game that's going on. I was like, holy shit.
Dude, that's okay. It's amazing. Like, if you're somebody that basically could just put your hand out and just say your first name, and you also know, you know, you know that they must know it too. That's such a great Marshawn story. But I mean, Juju's a big Twitch guy, right? Like, who's the NFL guy who's the best at Fortnite that you would actually get in a run for your money, NFL and anything gaming at all, Ninja? Anybody?
I don't know about a run for my money, man. Okay. But I do know that Juju's a big gamer, like, and he actually plays a lot. And I think that Mahomes is a big gamer too.
Austin Eckler, right? I know Eckler's got his own setup. I know Austin's out there quite a bit. I'm wondering.
Dude, a lot of tight ends, a lot of freaking linebackers too, honey. Who Bach from D-Bach? Is he still on the Packers or he's on? Yeah, D-Bach. I mean, he absolutely loves gaming. He's gaming all the time. He's always hitting up Jeff. Blake Martinez as well, who's now on the Giants.
He's on the Giants. Yeah, exactly. Who's helping you with the answers here, Ninja?
My beautiful wife, who's a diehard Packers fan.
Okay, what does she think about tonight?
Oh boy. Well, I mean, what you guys? I think we actually just got off the phone with one of it with our agency, and that's just the same question. Like, who's even going to be your running back today?
Is that a fantasy question? Let's be honest. Is that a fantasy question for you, Ninja? Is that a fantasy?
Oh, absolutely, huge fantasy. I'm getting railed in fantasy right now. By the way, just this year, I've been like super distracted, so I haven't really been keeping up with like my roster. Essentially, you know, the waiver wire picks are non-existent. Except I will say I have Lamar Jackson. I was like, dude, you know, this is going to be fine, man. I drafted. I was like, I got Lamar Jackson.
Yeah.
He'll pretty much carry me through every single victory. And he has not been performing.
Last week was a rough one, man. Last week was a rough one. Who are you in a fantasy league with, Ninja? Who else?
Okay, so I got two leagues. I got a family league, which absolutely love. Two of my brothers and a lot of their closest friends.
Mm-hmm.
A little small pool. Everyone puts in like, you know, $50 and it, you know, top three pays out. It's always fun. It's like my fourth year doing it. And then I have a league with Juju. Juju has his league on over on the Sleeper app. And that one is always interesting. Everyone's just always talking shit to each other in the freaking chat.
So hold on a second. So how can you be in a fantasy league with a football player? Doesn't he get some sort of an advantage knowing, you know, matchups and, you know?
He always picks himself first.
Come on. No, he does not. He does not. He does not.
Yeah, I'm like 99% sure Juju has picked himself first in back-to-back years. Let me check to make sure he actually picked himself again this year.
Well, I mean, I love the kid. I love him, but he killed his own fantasy team last year if he chose himself first.
I
say that with the utmost of love and respect. It was just a bad year with his quarterback and everything. I mean, oh my, yeah. That's so funny. He picks himself first in his fantasy league. I mean, why not?
You gotta be your biggest fan. You gotta believe in yourself.
Right. I mean, if you had a fantasy league for what you do, you'd choose yourself first, right? I mean,
100%. You have to.
Because I definitely picked up. I'm on the phone with Ninja right here. I definitely picked up when I said which player would give you a run for your money. You didn't even give me any at all. You did not stutter. Not a single NFL player would give you a run for your money in your world.
Correct.
What about a celebrity gamer? I know that you've been out there. with Drake, right? Ellen, yeah, Jimmy Fallon, anybody? Anybody can give you a run for your money, dude, on that?
Mm-hmm. I will say that the DJ, he's really good at video games. He's been playing Valorant a lot recently, which is one of Riot's new games that came out, and he's really good at that. Actually, top, 1% of ranked in the world, which is, you know, nothing to laugh at. There are a lot of people. There are a lot of, closet gamers, too, still, right, that don't really even say how much they game, but
okay. And then
off the top of my head, no.
Let me flip the script then. Who's the worst celebrity? Who's the one like, come on, what are we doing here? What are you doing here? Does that happen?
The worst celebrity, dude, Diplo, man, he's awful. God awful. Yeah, man.
Why? What's so bad about Diplo?
He's much older now, right? I mean, he's and that's not
careful.
That's not an age joke.
Careful.
I personally don't think that people fall off. My wife is digging a hole right now.
That's right. I'm 51, okay, but
he loves games, but he's not a gamer. Like, he just, you know what I mean? So he's too busy making the number one hits.
All right, let's talk about your apparel, the latest Team Ninja hoodie, unlike any other hoodie, because it's got the patent-pending technology enhancing audio experience, even with the hood covering the user's head. What's going on here, Ninja? What do you got for me?
Yeah, man. This was inspired in many ways. As a gamer, I've been gaming my entire life, and as someone who has fans, even though I'm much bigger now than I was 10 years ago, I was still streaming 10 years and had people who would come up to me in the airports. This is like a... anyone and everyone can use this and will use this and will love to use this. I've always, sometimes it's cold, you want to put your headset on, but like, you don't want to put your headset on over your hood because it's going to, you know, the sound isn't going to be as good. So it's like, well, you know, like, let's fix this problem. Also, you know, so I think more details will be released as like the design comes out. So basically you just put the headphones on and it doesn't distort the sound at all. There's this awesome, cool mesh, where the sound just goes right through, travels right through. It looks good, feels good, super comfy hoodie, and it's super basic design. So I think a lot of people are going to love it.
They'll be available on TeamNinja.com on November 25th. Mesh ear holes built right into the hood so everybody can wear it when they love to rock the over-the-ear headphones with their hoodies up. And the hoodie being up is a choice, right? I mean, like, is that an intimidation method? Do you think?
Oh, absolutely, man. I mean, people come in, like, I've been, you know, competitive my entire life in esports and also in, you know, soccer, right? And when you show up into the tournament that you're going into, right, or the match you're going into, and everyone's just rocked up, hoods up, zoned in.
Right.
You know what I mean? You tune into the football games, you see the guys come out of the freaking stadium, right? They're coming out of their, you know, the tunnel.
like, you know, in pregame warming up, and they got their hoods up and they got their headphones on over their hoods, or they got their headphones on, and you just, like, you just see them zoned in, right? That tunnel vision. It can be pretty intimidating. So
I guess the ultimate thing for you, Ninja, is in terms of marketing, would get Belichick to wear one of these, right? That would be the home run, correct? Right,
dude. You know what I'm gonna do? I'm gonna cut up the sleeves, man, of the hood. I'm gonna right around, right at his bicep. I'm gonna send it to him. Like, hey, man, you can wear this.
Yeah, and you should say it's for your gaming. And then he'll be like, "What do you mean Sunday?" But that's what it is.
Sunday, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
As if you need any extra help, you're good.
Before I let you go, my kids would not be pleased with me, and I do have a best dad ever sign right in front of me here on my desk. They would not be happy with me if I did not ask you about your Masked Singer appearance as the ice cream cone. How did you choose that, Ninja? The ice cream cone. What about that?
Okay. So we had a couple of designs that they came with us, and they wanted it to ring true to, obviously, you know, me, make it as, you know, that's the word I'm looking for. Organic as possible.
Yes.
Right? I was like, dude, I absolutely love sweets. I'm the biggest sweet tooth on the planet. So, okay. Yeah, we'll take ice cream cone for sure for the mascot. And I wouldn't have even done that if my wife didn't sign me up and basically say that I was going to do it. It was one of those things where, like, she got an email. She was interested. She's like, Tyler, what do you think? I was like, I don't know. She was kind of nervous. Like, I don't know. Like, I'll think about it. And literally the next morning, she's like, yeah, you're doing it. And then we had a phone call with them. It was like, I mean, dude, there were like voice lessons and everything. It was a whole thing.
Now,
yeah.
Now, who chose the soundtrack of Devo's Whip It? And then, of course, the famed Old Town Road. Who chose that? Is that you, your wife, or is that your?
I think I chose Old Town Road when it was the voice actor was or the voice actor. Voice coach said that my voice would be better with like a lower pitch. Tone. So I was like, all right, we'll do Old Town Road. I love Lil Nas. He's amazing. And then Whip It was just like the play on words for the, you know, ice cream. So
yeah,
it's like my playful nature, you know. Now Whip It! You know?
Ninja, I've loved this chat, man. Everybody should check out the new hoodie that's coming out from Ninja. The latest Team Ninja hoodie will be available on teamninja.com starting on November 25th. Good luck to your wife's Packers tonight. Good luck to your Lions moving forward. And remember, when everything posts about this interview, it's at Rich Eisen Show for you to tag, Ninja, okay?
Awesome. Got it, man. Thank you. Thank you so much for having me on. I really appreciate it. Had a great talk.
Right back at you. That's Ninja. That's Tyler Blevins, a.k.a. Ninja, right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Not shameless to tell somebody with 40 million fans.
He's very popular.
At Rich Eisen Show. I, as a 51-year-old man, not ashamed. Because if not me, who? If not now?
When?
Thank you. That's been the phrase that's been paying for the Rich Eisen podcast through the show, huh?
Very long time. Ever since we had a shower curtain, Rich.
Well, you need to hold on a second.
Rich Eisen Show.
You need to give context to people about that.
A shower curtain.
Just say ever since we had a shower curtain and leave it at that. When we come back, I'll add some context to that. And then are we talking playoffs or what?
Oh, yeah.
I don't think we're including his lines in this conversation.
Sadly not.
844-204-RICH as well.
Welcome to the MIP.
Yeah.
The Michael Irvin Podcast.
You knew this was coming.
Guess who?
Let me start this thing off. Join me every week for the Michael Irvin Podcast. We'll give you the full MIP experience. I'm talking everything from football to fashion. I will be chopping it up with playmakers, headline makers, and I am throwing haymakers. I'm the MVP of the MIP. Don't miss it.
Download new episodes of the MIP, the Michael Irvin Podcast, every Thursday on Apple Podcasts, Podcast One, and Spotify.
Hey, everybody. The Rich Eisen Show store is open. Go to RichEisenStore.com. Be the T-shirts, both long and, of course, short sleeve in white or heather gray. We've got hats, people. And, of course, start your day with a cup of joe and a Rich Eisen Show coffee mug. Go to RichEisenStore.com and shop your head off right now. RichEisenStore.com. Please go and check that all out, everybody. That was a fun chat with Ninja right there.
Oh, yeah.
It was three S-bombs a record for one of our live broadcasts? As you know, the record for cursing on our podcast days was set by Bobby Cannavale, which stood a test of time for quite some time. Tim Oliphant showed up, and we told him that he was one shy of the record, and he used one of his favorite Deadwood words to break it. It's a big moment.
Big moment.
It's a big moment for us.
Big moment.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show on our radio, TV, simulcast side of things. Look, hey, the whole deal with the shower curtain before, it wasn't Planes, Trains, and Automobiles type shower curtain. We used to, our podcast on the TV side of things, we used to do it
in a
VO booth. You would be
a very small room.
That's the first time you were involved with us because we used to.
From the beginning.
No. But when we did the audio podcast, audio, you weren't taking the audio in.
After you moved.
And then we did the TV side of things, and you were the sound engineer. Audio executive that was in the room that would take the sound in, and then we just incorporated you in the show, and then you've been part of this program ever since. We did audio only for like a year before you joined.
I did the first podcast with you, with Spoon, myself, David Fowler.
No, I know that. That Mike, was a that TV, was TV show. We were an audio only venture before the TV hit. In terms of the history of this program. Dude, I can't believe you're looking at me like, do you know what you're talking about?
Mike.
I had to go into NFL Network management and say, I want to do a podcast. And the response was basically, why?
What's a podcast?
And then I told Steve Bornstein it would not cost him a dime. And he said,
I thought
go
you started in that room, but you're probably right.
I'm probably right.
I thought you started in the room.
Says the guy, whose name is on it. All I know is that when Brockman doesn't look up and you and I are having a conversation, it doesn't bode well
Rich,
for you.
Rich, I believe I recorded your first podcast when we used to do just audio only. Then we added the cameras in. That's what you don't remember.
I don't know.
I think that's where you're getting me.
Brockman, and this is.
They were not involved at
first. Before me.
I'm saying.
I came in like episode four.
We got in trouble because I recorded you illegally into a device that wasn't an NFL Network piece of equipment. And I got yelled at by the lead engineer at the time because he said, you have to record it into the regular control room. I remember this, and
we survived that moment.
I know that.
But anyway, the reason why we put it on, when we put it on TV, there was a green screen behind me. It was terrible, but your Spoon, who you're referring to, one of the top currently Fox Sports producers, he got the Rich Eisen podcast logo put on a curtain that he would snake through, to cover up the green screen.
Clamp it down so it was strange.
By the way, I have it in the closet in our green room. I have it. I don't know what the hell I'm ever going to do with it, but
so jabroni.
But I could kind of like if we ever need to have sort of like a Kramer, you know, Merv Griffin type moment, we could bust it out.
Oh yeah. I mean, I have so many hard tapes and DVDs of the whole show.
Yeah, we recorded.
Oh my gosh.
In my house.
We just again celebrated our 6-year anniversary as a simulcast. Is that today? That's today.
Yeah.
Happy anniversary.
Happy anniversary.
Hey.
Congrats, guys.
Look at us. Look at us. Now I'm streamer of the gamer who drops the S-bomb 3 times on live television and radio.
Come a long way, man.
So, we are at the halfway point of the NFL season. Tonight is week 9. There's some news involving tonight's game in which Kendrick Bourne may or may not still be allowed to play, and that's going to be in Chris Brockman's news update coming at the top of the next hour. So, we are at the midway point of the NFL season, and normally on shows like this, when we decide, we take a look at teams who are on the cusp of breaking out, or maybe they're a mirage, or maybe they haven't performed very well, but have an opportunity to make the playoffs. It's our opportunity to see if your playoff fugazi, you're real or not. Normally, right around time, right around this time of year, it's around Halloween. Shows say, is this team a trick or a treat? We've done that on Game Day Morning many times. But this was a caller from Long Island. I think it was the Wednesday before the season kicked off.
I think you're right.
And he was fired up about Saquon and the new
Danny
coach
Dimes.
Joe Judge and Danny Dimes and Jason Garrett and the defense and a whole new era. And he called up about his Giants and asked this question.
We talking playoffs or what?
It was phenomenal.
It was phenomenal.
Straight out of our childhood, right?
I mean, yeah, it was back in...
So now, while we're at the midway point of the season, we have a new segment to decide whether a team can be is playoff worthy or not. It's called the Rich Eisen Show version of We Talkin' Playoffs or What?
We said down! Hut!
Playoffs?
We Talkin' Playoffs or What?
We'll talk about playoffs?
We Talkin' Playoffs or What?
You kidding me? Playoffs?
Fantastic. That's production value right there. That's
amazing.
Production value.
Amazing. Amazing.
So, Chris, you have six teams, three from each conference you're going to throw at me, and I'm gonna say they're either playoffs or what? Okay, what do you have?
All right, let's start in the American Football Conference, the AFC North. Currently the seventh seed. They are 5-3, Rich. The Cleveland Browns. Playoffs or what?
Oh my gosh. I got to make this call right now for the Cleveland Browns. We're on a bye week. Their schedule is nice and soft. Home for Houston, home for Philly, at Jacksonville. They have a game against the Jets and the Giants. The problem is these are games they're going to be expected to win. Can they win? Nick Chubb's coming back. A seventh seed is out there. Problem is the Raiders have already beaten them. And you've got the loser of the AFC North and the loser of the AFC South. I'm going to say the Cleveland Browns, but it all comes down to it. Is or what?
So what?
Is or what? The Cleveland Browns, when it comes down to it, is or
so what?
What? Yes.
Wow. Okay, you just mentioned this team.
Yes.
They beat Cleveland. Go West. The Las Vegas Raiders, Rich. Playoffs. Or what?
I think the Las Vegas Raiders, I'm looking at their schedule with the Chargers and the Broncos and the Falcons and the Jets all on it, and that this division is weak compared to the AFC South and the AFC North, and I do like the thumper in the backfield and Josh Jacobs, and I do like the playmakers and Max Crosby and Darren Waller, and I do like Gruden, and I do like the fact that they play indoors. There's not going to be some sort of craziness with weather most of the time.
True.
With them.
True.
I like the way Carr's running this offense. You know how I've talked about the Las Vegas Raiders this year. Right now, I'm going to say the Las Vegas Raiders.
We're talking playoffs.
We're talking playoffs.
Oh, wow.
We're talking playoffs. I think they've got that seven seed in their back pocket. Tiebreak against the Cleveland Browns. I'm going to say we're talking playoffs.
Unbelievable.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Last one in the AFC. You mentioned a tiebreak. They have the Raiders do have the tiebreak over this team. From the AFC East to the Miami Dolphins. Playoffs.
I do love Tua, and I told you he's going to be must-see television this week against Kyler Murray. Then he's going to go against Drew Lock, which I know a lot of people think, you know, what are you going to do? It's not as sexy as all of that, but guess what? He has been playing well. Before that, Justin Herbert. Then he's going to be taking on Joe Burrow and Mahomes, and then Watson, and then they do take on the Las Vegas Raiders, who I think will beat them, and that's when they're going to get that tiebreak you just referred to, Christopher. I'm going to say this team, as well as they're playing, I can't put the Raiders in and the Dolphins in because you're going to have either the Colts/Titans or Ravens/Steelers as the other teams in the wild card position. As much as I love Tua, I'm going to have to go for the Dolphins. Or
so
what? Or
what? So what?
Thank you. Great drop. Or what?
Or what?
Or what?
Or what?
So I'm going to put the Raiders in as the playoffs team in the seventh seed right now, and the loser of the North and South is your 5 and 6 seeds right now. That's the way I'm looking at it halfway home. Let's move on to the NFC.
Let's go to the NFC. Let's go to the NFC. And let's start in the NFC West, Rich. Not all four teams are going to make it.
That's correct.
This team, currently the seventh seed, sitting at 5-3. Let's talk about the Los Angeles Rams.
Talk about the Los Angeles Rams. I think that, as you know, they're one of the youngest teams in the NFL. If they came into the league this year with the youngest roster, and they've got some very difficult games, but there is a nice little soft spot of the Jets. New England comes in. I think they take care of business right there. They split their games in division. Maybe even might take the one with Seattle when they're at home. They might take the one against San Francisco, because San Francisco will be all banged up. I love Donald. I love Ramsey. I love the way this offense is looking. You know I've been high on the Rams. We are talking playoffs for your Los Angeles Rams here at 20.
Playoff?
Right, that's what I'm doing right now. Yeah.
Wow.
Yes, sir.
Wow.
Who else?
Okay, next. You mentioned they own the tiebreaker over this team, the Rams. Currently the 8th seed sitting at 5-3. A lot of talking going on in this building. The Chicago Bears.
There's a lot of talking. There's a lot of talking. And God bless Mitchell Trubisky with all the questions about, do the Bears go back to Trubisky? Can the Bears go back to Trubisky? Would they go back to Trubisky? They give Trubisky a little cup of coffee, wet his beak a little bit. Let's get him in there and switch things up with Mahomes. I mean, with Foles for just one play. And he hurts himself for several weeks, removing himself from that equation. It is now Nick Foles. You're on your own, Nick. You're on your own. And this team, it's like pulling teeth watching them play offense. I love their defense.
Not great.
But right now, if I had to guess about your Chicago Bears, the way that they are looking and the way that they are playing, they got to get take Tennessee. They've got that two against Green Bay. I know they've got Jacksonville and Houston coming up, but those are games that they should win, and I don't know if they're prepared to do it. Right now, for your Chicago Bears at 5-3, looking at the rest of this tough league where two teams, I think, will make it out of the West and one from the NFC South that does not win the division, the Chicago Bears right now entering week 9. Or what?
So what? So what?
Or what? Thank you. What
last,
else?
Last team. Yes. They're not currently leading the NFC East, but one team from this division has to make it. We're talking about the Dallas Cowboys at 2-6, guys. Playoffs or what?
Talking about TJ Jefferson's Dallas Cowboys, huh? At 2-6 right now.
When did it shut up? Let me answer.
Hey, they have a chance. I mean, Andy Dalton can get back healthy, come off, you know, hopefully he'll be healthy from COVID-19 and he'll be through the concussion. And that is still CeeDee Lamb and also Amari Cooper and also Michael Gallup and also Zeke. All right. Or what? They're
Well, old Dr. Jones with my rubber glove is going to make sure every one of you are safe.
No! It's or what, Mike?
Or what?
Yes!
No, I wanted to play that.
We're not talking that. We're talking or what? Yeah, Phil, I told you Philadelphia, they're going to go on a bye week. They're going to come back healthy. Man. They might even win the division. That was my higher register last week. They're going to win the division above 500.
Ooh.
Miles Sanders comes back. Goddard's back. Fulgham's great. Right? Alshon Jeffrey comes back?
He doesn't know what he's talking about.
No. Miles Sanders, Boston Scott, defense, offensive line maybe gets healthy? Can't believe Dallas is about to go 2-7.
We are winning on Sunday.
Okay. You didn't go high register or give me an older respect. That's the by the way, I like that. That was fun. A little I'll give ourselves a round
segment.
Of applause.
Great segment.
Playoffs or what?
Great segment.
Playoffs or what?
Can you imagine? That's the beauty of New York sports fans. Are we talking playoffs or
that's
what? And Saquon gets absolutely shut out by the Steelers in week 1. Week 2, he blows his knee out against the Bears. And that team's 1-7 right now.
I want that guy to call back.
Yeah, was it Randy in Long Island?
I think it was Randy.
I don't remember. I don't want to say the wrong name.
Got to get him back.
I want him to call back if you're out
so
there.
So he could tell him or what to his face?
If that was you, call back.
Please call us.
So what?
It gave us an entire segment that we've been cultivating. It's like the Lufthansa Heist. We've been cultivating that caper for like 8 weeks.
I want my money for that drop.
Okay. Don't buy nothing. Don't get it.
Where's my money?
Don't get nothing.
Henry, where's my money?
John Ridley, the Academy Award-winning screenwriter and director, is now the author of a new miniseries called "The Other Side of the Other History of the DC Universe." He's a Packers fan, and there is some news about whether the NFL will allow Kendrick Bourne to play tonight. Michael Holly will join us as we take you to "Brother from Another" right here on Peacock. If you're watching on Peacock, stay right there. But for our radio audience, we'll see you in a few minutes for hour 3. I enjoyed that.
That was great.
But I'm not one of those, you know, dart throwers here. If you noticed, I gave you. I couldn't say yes, Dolphins are playoffs and Raiders are playoffs.
Right.
Because that means the Ravens/Steelers or Titans/Colts do not make it.
Right.
You have to understand that the game of musical chairs will leave somebody standing and somebody sitting. And so I choose the Raiders. Out of the Dolphins, Raiders, and Browns right now, I would choose the Raiders.
Having that tiebreak over Cleveland is huge.
And Carr is playing in this offense very proficiently. Which is, by the way, a step up from being solid.
Proficiently?
Yes.
We need, you remember? This,
like a,
we need the scale, yeah. We need the chart.
Like
the chart.
a DEFCON, a color-coded chart?
Yeah. Is solid the bottom or is solid middle?
Solid's middle. Solid's middle.
Yeah.
But solid. People, as you know, who use the word solid thinks that's a compliment, and it ain't a compliment.
Not a compliment.
By the way, that was a solid segment. I don't want a solid segment. Segments don't need to be solid.
Was it a proficient segment?
I think it was a remarkably proficient segment.
Now we're talking.
Hall of Fame segment. Hour 3 coming up here on NBC Sports on Peacock.